We Like Dota is brought to you by the generous support of our patrons. Patrons like Ye Olde Raven, Icebug, Titus Andromedon, Jeff Peterson, Nathan Johnson, Bunny Data, Paul Bender, RX Cowbell, Edge, Paul Turner, Bila, Wisp, Beandob, and two new patrons joining the ranks, Mr. Fancy Pants and CBX. Thanks everyone for your continued support. We Like Dota, episode 231, starts now. Hello, welcome to We Like Dota, the internet's casual Dota 2 podcast. I'm Sam the Plaid Pirate. I'm joined by Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Sam. Hello, Arian.
We also have Arian. Hi, Arian.
Hi. Hi.
How are things, Arian? I heard you have a big update to give us.
I have a big update. I've moved. Not my where I live, but my gym. A new gym opened up. It's literally right next door from me. I have to walk like a minute. It's just really great. I'm sure you can relate, Sam. Instead of one power rack at my old gym, I now have six power racks. So I think I'll never have to wait again in my entire life. It's new. It's clean. It's huge. It has a sauna. And it just feels really good to like immediately go to the gym and not have to take the bike for 10 minutes.
But then,
which isn't that bad, but still.
The bike is a nice, sneaky warm-up.
True. Now I have to do a little warm-up. I guess I can run to my new gym.
Your one-minute run?
Yes.
That's wonderful. I'm very happy for you.
Yeah, I'm very happy too. I've already shilled the gym to all my friends to sign up.
I hope
some of them actually will.
You're a salesman.
Pretty sure.
Jim, do you have any updates on your mountain climbing?
Yeah, we're booking the travel and stuff now. It's going to be the first week of June.
Okay.
Got it all booked. That's it right now. I've been exercising for a while, like more intensely.
Stairmaster?
No, I fill my backpack full of textbooks and I walk up and down the stairs in my house. I live in a very low-lying area in the country, and I cannot even approach altitude, so that's what I got.
Damn. I thought you were going to say, I live in a very tall house.
No.
Is your area flatter than a pancake, though?
No, there's lots of like little hills. It's not like endless farmland like Kansas or something, but
yeah,
it's... there's no altitude. Like, the highest point in the state's like...
Fun fact, if a pancake was an area of the United States, it would actually be the most mountainous area of the entire United States.
Wait, can you repeat that?
So you have the saying, I think it's for Kansas, right? I'm not 100% sure. You say Kansas is flatter than a pancake?
Sure.
They did a like topographic analysis of a pancake, and it turns out that every state in the United States is flatter than a pancake.
Oh, nice.
So, if a pancake was a state, it would be, like, really mountainous, actually.
Oh, incredible.
The more you know.
Very good. Good. So, Dota feelings. Arian, you go first.
Yeah, so I played with Sam a lot this week. It was a nice refresher. I felt like we were pretty lacking in the last, like, month or so, but this week really... got our game on again. I think we played like five matches together in total. Just some great timing all around. I also played Battle Cup. And I decided to go full meme. We got first round eliminated as always because I picked Phoenix. Position 3. I thought that was a great idea. And then I just picked Sniper Husker. We lost. But I want to talk about the meme. So you know that... video of Mars dancing where he's like emulating that Ricardo meme.
I saw you post it in Discord.
Yeah.
I didn't that put one, two I think and two together. Made by... I just saw him dancing. I thought it was funny, but I didn't know like it was referencing the Ricardo thing.
Yeah, so
for the uninitiated, I got my whole... the Ricardo meme is just this male stripper dancing very salaciously.
To Dota 2, to a Dota 2 song.
Yeah.
That's important. And then I think Tsunami made a parody of that where he replaces the male stripper with Mars. And I'm sure you saw that. Somebody posted it in general. I also posted it yesterday, I think. So I got my Bell Cup stack, so I spent like 10 minutes scrubbing through that video of Mars and just screenshotting different areas of his body.
Oh, you made that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I made that. And then I cropped the images into a square format, and then I got my Bell Cup stack to change their names and profile pics. So, for example, me, I took his eyes, and then I named myself his seductive gaze. And Charlene took his back, and she was his strong back. And then Bear Loop was his toned butt. Yeah. Dallas was his tempting crotch. And I think, Jade, she was his huge pecs. And then we started, I can send you a picture after the fact. I'm probably also going to post it on Twitter. But it was really funny. We also named ourselves, I don't know, just some stupid meme name with a picture of him. But yeah, all in general, I felt like it was very worthy. We had a good laugh about it.
But unfortunately, the game was...
Yeah, we still lost, though. Didn't help us. I already got an idea for next week, though.
Oh, okay. Do you want to share it now, or are you going to make us wait?
I don't know. So, you know the Office suite?
Yeah.
Like, I want to, someone names himself PowerPoint with a PowerPoint logo. Someone names himself Word, then there's an Excel guy. What else is there? OneNote, I guess. I'm sure you would know another. Yeah, Access. And then we just enter the battle covers, the Microsoft Office suite.
That's a good one. I like it.
Incredible. I like this. This is where we shine, the memes.
Yeah.
Not the actual gameplay.
Right. We stay in our lane. We know what we're doing.
Yeah. True. How about you, Jim? How are your feelings this week?
I'm a player adrift, I think.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I am in moral crisis, gentlemen.
Mm-mm.
My conduct score, which when they initially set it out was 10,000, which I believe is the maximum, is now 9,840.
Toxic.
My imperfections are put on display for all to see. It was probably during my calibration matches where I lost the last five in a dramatic slide. I don't know. Maybe someone reported me. Maybe I got a little too salty on voice. So I calibrated. It was funny, right? Because, I mean, you know, MMR is just a number, man. But, I calibrated Crusader 3. And, when my calibration matches were even and I was winning and losing, everything was, probably between, Crusader 5 or 6 and, Archon 1 and 2. And then, the slide began.
Oh, no.
And it was, they were all like that until the last one. The last one was, Crusader 1 through Crusader 5. I'm like, oh. And then I lost that one. So I ended up Crusader 3, which is fine, whatever. My MMR is actually not that different from what it was.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, now I'm ranked. I've qualified back into, what do you call it, Tier 3 Battle Cup. And now I just started playing some unranked, in parties with people from the Discord. And I'm having fun again, so I'm happy. But I don't, and I'm getting them Dota Plus points from quests and stuff, but I still don't, I don't have, a goal. I'm not, really, when I was into Centaur, I was, into Centaur or Doom, you know? And I feel like right now, I don't have, something I'm going for.
Just mindlessly floating in the void.
Yeah.
No purpose in this Dota life.
Mm.
It's true. I mean, I guess, I could try to get my conduct summary back up to 10,000, but, I don't know how to do that. I have 999 commends, though.
That's nice. Cool.
Jim, here's a question for you.
Yeah. I'm going to commend you to ruin it.
When When do you play? Because I only ever play with you on Theme Thursday.
I know. True, true. When does he play?
Oh, late at night. If, yeah. So, if the wife goes to bed early for whatever reason, I come on. Like, my wife has been on vacation with her mother and sister this weekend. Uh-huh. So, after the kids go to bed, I log on and play a few games.
Like, what time?
Usually it's like 10:30, 11.
Mm. I see. Yeah. This is why we never play together except every week on Theme Thursday.
Yeah, we only play on Theme Thursdays and WLDL. We had a few games.
True. WLDL was good.
Too. Hmm. Also, Desolate is in-house. Don't forget it.
Never
forget. Legendary.
Never forget. Like the try-hard one. Yeah.
Yeah. I also have another Dota feeling.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. I didn't. You didn't cut me off. I just forgot until now. I calibrated to Archon 1, as you guys all know. It made me very sad because I went 7-3 in calibration and it still dropped me down a lot. And I climbed myself back up to Archon 7. And then I was like, oh, now I need to grind a lot still to be back at my Legend 2. But I forgot that it kind of works in a weird way that even though your party MMR is lower than your solo, if you calibrate it, it's going to bump your rank up. So I calibrated my party MMR and now I'm Legend 3 again. So that's one higher than I was before. Very nice.
That's awesome. I could do that. I could get boosted. I could grab like Bea and Charlene and you. And we could just party 9 times. I'll play like Warlock and we can.
True. Yeah, because if you play Warlock, even if you die, you spawn a golden.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I just came out. I had a Warlock game last night, unranked. I have what I think is one of the best cosmetics in the game, but people don't recognize. This like Warlock staff that has a hand on top and it gestures when you cast spells.
Ooh.
Like it gives the devil horns when you cast rock. When you're channeling the area of effect thing with upheaval, it wags its finger like Dikembe Mutombo.
Ooh.
It's amazing. And it's like, but it's not part of any of the cool Warlock sets and no one uses it. And I ended up with a 4-stack. Like it was me and a 4-stack. And I'm like, well, we'll see what happens. So I could tell they were a 4-stack because they had the same like prefix in their names. So I pick Warlock because I figure, all right, these guys are going to want to like be all the cores, right? And they didn't. And I was in lane with Alina, who I don't think was going for last hits. And she built Tranquil Boots. And, I mean, the game was just total nonsense, but they were really nice. And we just kind of joked around and lost quickly. But they were really nice, so it was all right. It was unranked, so who cares?
So you have the finger wagging cosmetic?
Yeah.
Oh, sounds beautiful.
It's amazing. It's the Hellborn Grasp.
How much is it?
Yeah, I'm testing it right now. It's only $2. Yeah, that's very value. It's even more interesting because it seems to be like one of those really old immortals, one of the first, and those usually go for like $20.
Yeah, it comes from some chest. I looked it up.
Immortal Strongbox.
Yeah, that's full of like incredibly $20, like really expensive items, and then like this one, which is cheap, and I'm like, oh well, it can't be that good, and then I click on its wiki page and there's like 15 little videos of animations because there's all these custom animations.
That's so guess cool. It's because nobody plays Warlock.
Yeah, I guess. And there's lots of cool, like there's all those super cool Warlock sets that came out recently, and so everyone wants like, I guess the like aesthetic continuity of using the correct staff, but
I like Warlock. I think he's undervalued for my skill level.
His Q is honestly damage potential wise as strong as most ultimates.
Yeah, you just hit your Q and you hit your R button and you did your job. It's fine if you die. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, and I think you really depend on your cores though.
That's true.
Like there's nothing like in the game last night when we had a Tinker and 4 supports, essentially. And there was just, like, nothing to do. Like, all right, I can wait 18 seconds to cast another Fatal Bonds.
So, my Dota feelings, I played with a very high quality 4 stack yesterday.
And that's me.
Yeah, involving my co-host, not Jim, but Charlene, Ariano, and...
Ariano.
Whoa. Yeah. Old school.
Old school.
And Lamb. And it was great. I played Undying, and Charlene played Luna, and I went... Where did I go? What was my score at the end of the
game? You went Glimmer Cape. I remember that because you saved me a lot.
I was 8-2 with 21 assists.
Whoa.
So we went against a Kunkka Jakiro lane, and we just dominated. I will brag a little bit. I just single-handedly zoned them both out, and Baby Bok Choy enjoyed free farm essentially, and then we started killing them at like level 3 when I had Tombstone, and we just never really looked back. It was great. She went the meme build of Aghanim Scepter on Luna. And it really did carry us. It was actually really, yeah, really great.
It carried us through the mid game until I could come online.
Yeah, Aaron was playing troll. Which, actually, your troll, I thought, was good.
So in the early game, I dominated the Storm Spirit in lane. Because, you know, people... I have a disdain for people who pick Storm Spirit. I hate that hero.
Full of self-loathing.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a theme.
Honestly, I just don't pick him because he's trash right now, honestly. What did I want to say? Yeah, I don't really know how to counter Storm in lane because I've been laning against him a lot because I play him a lot. Which is kind of... but on the other hand, like, I know what Storm Spirits don't like a lane, obviously. So I won the lane, but then he had a way better mid game because I didn't really have that much farm because I had to ferry some salves out and... I don't know, I just didn't farm very well. So Charlene carried me through the mid game, but because she went the Axe build, I was the only right clicker on the team. So I didn't even went like a tanky survivability item. I just went full damage. And I tried a new build out, so I went Morbid Mask first, even before Boots, which I think, dare I say, won me the lane, because I had a lot of sustain against the Storm Spirit. Then I went Standard Phase, into Yasha, into Maelstrom, into Skull Basher, into Monkey King Bar, into Saint and Yasha, and I would have topped off with a Satanic if we didn't finish early. I mean, we didn't finish early, but we finished the game.
Yeah, how'd you get by without a BKB?
How does Aaron get by every game without
a BKB? That's true, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I sometimes wonder, like, where I would be right now if I actually bought BKB sometimes. Because that game, we were against the Lich, Storm Spirit, Kunkka, Jakiro. Like, that was a really good BKB game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. You just had me to save you with my little Glimmer Cape and my Guardian Greaves, and it was fine.
Great job.
Yeah. Fine. Also, still think BKB is a bad item.
All right. We're going to move on from these hot takes.
From the hottest of takes.
But no, I want to talk about my build a little bit, because my philosophy was, you know how, like, the early stat items are more efficient, like per value, per gold.
Yes.
And basically when you upgrade an item, it saves you on slots, but it like gets less value.
Yeah.
So my philosophy was that I'm going to first fill my inventory out and then I'm going to upgrade my small items into big items.
Ah.
So I went Morbid Mask, Phase, Maelstrom, Yasha, Skull Basher, MKB, and then I started filling my inventory out. I think that build was pretty good, except the Maelstrom. I really didn't feel the Maelstrom.
I like the idea of the Maelstrom, though. I mean, it's like a cheaper, you know, Battle Fury, like, because your attack speed is so high.
I think it would have been better if I actually farmed, but I just ran around.
Well, that's, Troll is like... not really an Aryan hero, because you typically have to farm a bit.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Still had fun that game, though.
Glad you had
fun. Like it was a really enjoyable game. As was our second game we played together with the same stack, even though we lost the other game.
We added one, right? So we were full five stack.
Oh yeah, right. Who did we add? Bea? Did we add Bea? I think we added Bea, right?
Yes, we added Bea. Yes. So our lineup was. You played Gyrocopter. Mm-hmm. Lamb played Rubik. Vengeful Spirit was Baby Bok Choy. I played Bristleback. And OD was Bayluck. And from my perspective, the laning stage was great.
Yeah.
And then I had like a pretty early Crimson Guard treads. And this is my problem, I think, in general with Dota now, and hopefully maybe somebody from the community can coach me on this. Once the laning stage breaks down, I don't know what to do with myself. We took the... So I was off lane, obviously, and we took their tower fairly early. And my idea was like, well, maybe I'll just sit in the dead lane and like force them to rotate towards me. But they didn't, and they just kind of like killed elsewhere. And I guess I should have rotated, but I just like was not sure what to do, and I feel like I let my advantage slip away, so we got meepo'd essentially. Their meepo went 22-6 and just kind of crushed us, was how it felt to me. I don't know how you felt, Darren.
So for me, like, laning phase or like went great. Me and Charlene absolutely crushed our lane. Partly, like, mostly thanks to Charlene, but I feel like I helped a bit. So like the Doom, we were laning against the Doom CM, and like the Doom was level 2 and I was level 5 just because I got to deny every creep of his. And then whoa. Charlene eventually went off helping other lanes because they couldn't lane against me anymore, even as a CM and Doom. So I was just absolutely free farming. And it was basically a run against time, mm-hmm. against Meepo. And Bea drew mid, but like he didn't kill Meepo, which meant that Meepo was able to catch up in the jungle and stack a lot and farm a lot and stuff like that. And in the end, I felt like I did good. I feel like I had, what was my hero damage?
Oh, yeah.
70k hero. Yeah, I had 70k yeah. hero damage. And that's like Zeus levels of hero damage for a 40-minute game. But still, in the end, we lost because I don't know, Meepo was just too strong at the end. It was super farmed.
Yeah, I don't play against many Meepos. And so
me neither.
When a Meepo knows what he's doing, it seems hard. In retrospect, maybe I should have went BKB instead of Pipe. I thought Pipe would help against Meepo, but I think it's just like so much magic damage, it doesn't even matter. And I ended up getting hexed a lot by him. So, I don't know.
That dude's Ancient 7 and has 550 Meepo games.
Oh, okay. That makes me feel better about it.
Yeah, no shame. Yeah,
I mean, we held on for a long time. Like, I felt like we could have easily won that game.
Yeah, I think if a couple things went differently in the mid-game, we would have had a shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but no, we had fun. It was a fun game, even though we lost. Let's move on to the news.
Hey.
Jim, please give us the breakdown of Dream League Season 11.
Yes, we have a major.
Yes. Is it ending today?
Just snuck up on me. Yes, but they're playing right now.
Okay, it can't end today. It's
no, whoa, it doesn't.
A whole week
today.
Of Dota still. Nice.
Yeah, much to come.
Yeah, I feel like this one like snuck up. Like I didn't even realize it was going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that happens with every major nowadays because the minor ends and literally 1 week later the major starts.
Yeah.
It's just the way things are now.
Oh, Nick's playing now, guys. Yeah, I'm going to abandon this podcast.
Yeah, you just hear the logout noise from Sam. Yeah, our talisman, Peter, is playing right now. But he's playing against Universe, which is sad. My favorite player. But, yeah, so the groups in, you know, really surprising fashion, there were four groups. They were won by Secret, LGD, Virtus Pro, and Evil Geniuses. I guess the surprise is that Liquid lost to Keen Gaming and came in third in their group instead of second.
Yeah,
Other than that, it was pretty much like exactly as predicted, with Evil Geniuses winning what, in my opinion, was like the easy group.
True. As always, NA getting the easy group, and they're still going to get third place.
Yep. Yeah, because they'll beat VP. They'll get, because they actually beat VP last time. They'll get to the upper bracket finals. They'll lose to LGD, and then they'll lose to Secret in the lower bracket finals. Will come in third. There you go.
Sounds good.
But yeah, I mean, it's been great Dota. Yeah, I had some fun watching it. It's been, there's like some different heroes, which is exciting.
Mm-hmm. Like who?
Razor, you see from time to time. Yeah. A lot of Pangolier. Pangolier is like everywhere.
Yeah. He's mid now. He's a mid.
Yeah, he's a mid Pango.
Yeah, he plays everything. And all the pros have that taunt, so they're always like doing so cartwheels in the air. Yeah.
The cartwheel part is cool, but the sound effect, not cool.
On a 2 second cooldown.
But yeah, so I looked up, Arian and I can go over our team prediction in a bit, but I looked up some of the heroes on the Tiny Watch that we like to do to Tiny Watch. Tiny in this tournament is Tiny again. He's been picked 10 times and he's won 2.
Stop picking Tiny!
Yes. You wanted to pick him last night, and I told you Jim would be disappointed if you did that.
Wait, I wanted to pick Tiny? I was
joking.
Yes,
he wanted to draft him.
I've been in drafts with Arian. I know what happens.
Excuse me?
Hey, I made, I'm Crusader 3. That's the only thing I got, all right, is that draft in game 2 of the Thessalades in-house.
True.
I'm still riding that high.
A top game we 2 won. WLDL with my shit drafting.
You're learning.
Yeah, I'm learning.
So what other? So Tiny is Tiny. Tiny was there.
Yeah, Bane is also Tiny.
Bane?
Yeah, Bane's been picked 18 times.
Oh.
He's like the second most picked hero, but he's only won 6 games. He's only won a third of his games.
Huh.
I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Troll, what about my boy Storm Spirit? Was he picked?
Scrolling down. I guess, because he's not at the zero. No, I think he might not have even been picked or banned.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, which is a shame. Wow. But yeah, and Troll is underperforming too. Which is not good, because last night I played a Troll game and I had a Bane in lane with me, so maybe that's why we lost.
It's all right. Bane in lane.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice.
On the other hand, the good heroes, Sven actually hasn't been picked that much. Sorry, not to switch to good heroes, because he's not. But every game in which Sven is banned, that team wins. Which is bizarre. But Oracle is the hero of the tournament. Wow. Did anyone see this coming?
No.
No, he's won 70% of his games on 23 picks, like the most picked hero. Bless you.
Bless you.
I still don't even know what that hero does.
Arian can tell you.
I still don't understand how it works.
So his W makes you magic immune, but people still can deal hit damage to you, so physical damage. His Q purges you, roots you, and can also be used on allies. His E takes HP away from you and then heals you for the same amount.
From the greater.
It heals you for slightly more.
Yeah, for slightly more. And his ultimate makes you all damage delayed and doubles all healing you receive for the duration. So some of his combos are, for example, he puts his W on an ally and then he presses E on him because the E is like on a really cool cooldown. And they don't, a really low cooldown. And they don't take magic damage, so they just get like 400 heal on a 2 second cooldown or something like that.
I appreciate this, but I was joking.
Alright. I'll just see myself up.
Yeah,
but no, it's good.
Yeah, my joke for Arian was that Patron Edge and WLDL MVP busted out Oracle in the WLDL finals and he just like owned. That was so impressive.
True.
Pangolier right now seems really strong. Once you get a javelin, you do a million kajillion damage with your Q. And it seems a little, I don't know. It seems like something that will be nerfed in the future, I would bet.
You think that's how they're nerfing him?
I think they'll nerf him in another way than his Q. Maybe the cooldown in his Q, but like they can't really change the way his Q works because, like, if they had would have to nerf Javelin, which like Javelin doesn't
that's
need
what
to
I'm thinking.
The interaction between Pango Javelin. And Javelin needs to.
I think
nerf.
They will specifically nerf that interaction because Ice Frog doesn't like when there's like just one way to build a hero.
Yeah, like why would they nerf Javelin? It's balanced for everything else.
No, but they might just say like. You but know, no, Javelin not, only procs once for Pangolier's Q. Do you know what I mean?
Not, it's yeah. not that bad. Like, nobody else buys Naked Javelin. Like, Windranger maybe, and Pango, that's
right.
it.
Yeah.
True.
It really only has one use, and it's to abuse Swashbuckle.
Yeah. Because the mechanic is, like, his Swashbuckle is separate instances of damage, right? So the Javelin can proc, like, five times.
Yeah, I need them to maintain the separate instances, though, so I can get a ton of centaur stacks every time I get swashbuckled.
So what else? Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of heroes, right now that's that. They still got a lot of Dota to play, but Oracle, surprisingly good. Pangolier is everywhere. There's a bunch of like small sample size heroes that have been doing well. Like Death Prophet has done well.
She got a buff, like lower mana cost on her Crypt Swarm.
Yeah, she's won quite a few games. We'll see if that continues as they go up, as they go on.
What were you saying about Dusa?
Dusa, she won 3 of her 4 games.
Oh,
obviously, she's a very situational pick anyway. But one of them was Vici Gaming over Team Secret.
Aaron, wait.
Do you have any insight into that matchup?
My hot take on this is that Jim and me, the master predictors of WLDL shaping the meta since 1999, we've been saying for a long time that Secret, it's just a rule of life. It's like, it's as certain as the sun going on, rising
so
every morning. That mid-season Secret is going to fall off and become trash until after TI, then after TI they get very strong and win 2 majors, and then they are trash again. And I was kind of like doubting myself because Secret, like, they're way past the expiration date, so to say. Like, their prime fall-off season was like 2 months ago. But I think now it has happened. They lost the game. They were on a 20-series win streak. They didn't drop a single game, actually. And now they lost not a game, but a series to Vici Gaming, which were, like, not regarded as super good, even.
Yeah.
In my opinion. So, yeah, Secret is going to get wrecked by Infamous today, I think. They're going to bust out of the major super early.
Yep,
because like the clock
has struck 12.
Yeah, it's like super Secret to look really strong.
Turning back to whatever Cinderella wore. I don't know.
And I feel like Secret,
this metaphor,
the carriage is turning into a pumpkin.
Yes,
yeah,
their carriage is back to pumpkin form. And you heard it here. We predicted it the last 4. Like, we're like economists, right? They say they predict like 8 of the last 2 recessions. we've predicted Secret to fail 4 of the last 1 times they have, so we finally got
That's
it
awesome.
Right. Yeah,
good.
Nah, but it's like super typical for Secret also to lose in the first round of upper bracket and then immediately lose again in the lower bracket round 2. They do it every TI, and they do it a lot in majors. So I feel like there's a good chance they just get beaten by Infamous. It's only 1 game. So, like, maybe Infamous bust out the Secret Meepo pick or something, and then they're toast.
No, it's a best of 3.
In the lower bracket?
Yeah,
it's
the
lower
bracket round
2.
Because...
My bad. Then that's
although
hard
Infamous did win their best of 1, as you pointed out, which segues into our next topic, the app.
Ooh.
Because you got a ton of points on that, right, Aaron?
Yeah, I won a bet which was like against the odds 1 to 17. I was spent 100 shards, and I won 1700. Easy profit.
That's what 1 to 17 means. Yes, very good.
Thanks. So yeah, maybe we should talk about the app in general. So,
yeah, I'm a peasant and I don't have it, so you guys have to carry this.
What do you mean?
Oh, yeah, right, forgot.
I don't have Donafus. So.
Oh my god. So yeah, 2 days ago, I think, Dota, like, they just, like, I don't think anybody was expecting this. But I think there was, like, talk of a Dota companion app, like, I think before last TI, I remember, like, some rumors about the Dota app. But then it was quiet for a long time. And now it's here, and it's great in my opinion. So you can only have it if you have an active Dota Plus subscription.
It feels bad.
And you get live updates about stuff like roster swaps and who wins games and what's going on right now. You get a live feed of every pro circuit match that's playing right now and stuff like that. You also can browse every tourney. You can make predictions and with your Dota Plus shards and win shards. So it's like a betting site, basically. You get odds, and if you bet on a team that's probably going to win, you're not going to win a lot. But if you bet on a dark horse and they win, you're going to win a shitload, like I did. And that there's also a fantasy roster. It's not as, like, I feel like it's not as in detail as the TI Compendium fantasy roster. I think you'd agree with that, Jim, because you only set a team for a tournament. And not for every day of a tournament. But it's still, like, pretty fantasy-esque. You, like, set a team. They earn points based on the same criteria as they always have. And then you can win shards based on how well you do. And I'm a big fan of this app, honestly. I feel like pretty much, like, single-handedly, this app has made Dota Plus go from not that worth it to definitely worth it.
Yeah.
What's your opinion?
I
just want to mention right now in the app, I'm looking at my phone right this instant, and my fantasy points are at 128, and Jim's fantasy points are at 98, which means I am defending my place as the fantasy Dota champion, as established in the WLD Fantasy Championship.
Yes, yeah, it's true. Yeah, I'm not sure how to do the fantasy right yet. Like, I think it's probably the case that you want to fill your roster with players that are going to play the most games over the course of the tournament.
Yeah.
So, like, I have a bunch of Liquid because they got knocked down to the lower bracket right away. Mm-hmm. So they're going to play, like, a million games because I'm assuming they're going to win a bunch.
Yeah.
And I guess that'll help. I don't know. I haven't really figured it out yet.
Yeah. I have a lot of Liquid, Secret, and Forward, and they're all in the lower bracket right now, so that's cool.
Yeah, that's good.
And like, you can't really, like, I mean, I guess you can lose your bet when someone makes it to the upper bracket, but if your team gets eliminated, you get to choose new players.
Yeah, like, there's a whole dynamic there that I haven't, like, thought through yet.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. I have, my cell phone, I just looked up, was released in 2013.
Damn. That's when I was 13.
So I can't run the app on my cell phone, but apparently I can run it in this, like...
Why do you have a six-year-old cell phone?
Because it works.
And you know, that's like old people with phones, you know.
Yeah.
Like it's the same with my mom. Her cell phone is like a Nokia, not a Nokia, but it's like a smartphone-esque thingy, but it's like really old. It's one of those awesome old touch screens where you have to, like, press really hard. Because it's,
yeah,
like...
I've had coworkers laugh audibly when I pulled out my phone in a meeting once.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it works, and I'm cheap.
Okay.
And so I'm not going to get rid of it. It's small, and they don't make small phones anymore. I don't want to carry around, like, a first-gen iPad in my pocket. Okay. Anyway, so I have to run it in this Chrome, like, developer tools window. Greg found me this way to do it. So I can run it, right? It's like I have a fantasy team, and obviously my roster is showing up, or my point total is showing up on other people's apps.
Nice.
And I got the points for my correct predictions, but the client doesn't detect that I've done it. So they added Dota Plus welcome quests to it. So there's one quest that says predict a DPC winner through the app, and I have that because I got one of the games. And then it has download and install the app, and I do not have that one.
Interesting.
So and I guess I'm never going to get it unless I like get a new cell phone.
I mean, I guess it's because they want you, like, I guess you have to be tied to an Android account or something, a Google account, I mean.
Yeah, I guess.
Do you have it registered?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, that could be it. Whenever I see anything like require an app, I just assume like they're stealing all your information. True. But
that's true.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm right with that all the time.
I'm also fine with that because I have Dota Plus, and but yeah, I think it's really cool. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah,
I'm excited about the fantasy. I want to see how many shards I can get. I like the predictions, although I had to open up a window on Chrome that has like actual code in it on the right. I wasn't able to get in before they capped the odds at 1-4.
Mm.
So I can only get like, so I bet on all the underdogs in 1-4 matches.
Yeah, me too. I feel like the odds in Dota games are always bad in the app. Like when the odds were still able to be 1-17, I just cashed out big.
Yeah. Also, and the other strategy, and this was always the case, I used to do unicorn. Not actual money unicorn, which I think you can do. I did the funny money unicorn. And always bet against Na'Vi and EG because they have huge fan bases that will like overload their side. So the odds are probably not reflective of the truth.
Yeah, that's like going against like always going against the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
But in regards to the app itself, I'm excited about this. I've been calling for a long time for like there to be one centralized location to follow Dota. And I always thought that it would be a website, and I was always shocked that there was no website that did this well, in my opinion. But now we have an app, and it seems like a good fit for an app.
Yeah.
Too bad I can't get it. No, I can. I just choose not to. But yeah, let's move it along.
One more thing, Jim. What do you think does the app do for the Dota Plus value proposition?
Oh, probably quite a bit.
Do you think it's like just plain worth now?
I thought it was just plain worth before, just because I'm really into like quests and accumulating shards and stuff. Like if you give me that, that's what I want. That's like, you know, the main line right into the brain. But also I just kind of consider it like my $5 a month Dota fee. Like I don't mind giving them $5 a month to play, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I also totally understand if people don't do that. I think it probably, if you're on the, if like Sam is like, yeah, I don't need this, right? And I don't think the app's gonna make Sam do it, and I'm like, yeah, this is great, so it's not gonna make me, it's not really gonna change my value question. But I think if you are on that edge, I think it could definitely push it over.
Yeah, for sure.
It does add a lot. Yeah, I agree.
All right. Other news. I think to wrap up the Dota news segment, Ana back to OG. It's not really like a lot to talk about. They kicked ILTW and they brought back Ana. I guess he changed his mind about not wanting to being competitive player in Dota, even though he just won a TI. So he's back.
He's back.
That's pretty much it. I think we're going to move on to Hero of the Week now.
Hero of the Week. It's Ursa Bear. All right, Arian, walk us through your boy.
Yeah. One of my favorite heroes right now. He's super fun just because he's so fast. So, yeah. Ursa is a melee agility hero. And he's a bear. He's a bear. He gets close to you and he really fucks you up.
Yes.
It's pretty much this thing. So, his Q is Earthshock. It's a AoE slow and 200 damage spell. It's a pretty small AoE, but it only costs 500 mana and is on a 5-second cooldown. It's really not like a flashy ability. It's probably most similar to Brewmaster Q.
Until level 25, and it's
until
a mini
level
ravage.
25, yeah, it's super good. I always take that talent. And it slows the enemy for 4 seconds by 55% in a 4-second radius and does 50 to 200 scaling damage. The slow also scales from 25 to 55. It's really not that special of an ability. Then there's also overpower, which makes him overpowered. It's a pretty low cooldown spell, and it gives you 400 bonus attack speed for 4 scaling up to 7 attacks for 75 mana. So you press it and you hit really fast for the next 7 attacks. You go like, bah, bah, bah. It's max attack speed. And then his next ability is Fury Swipes, which makes you right-click damage higher with every consecutive strike. So it puts a stack on an enemy. At level 4, every attack is going to do 28 damage more than the last attack. And that scales infinitely. Which means if you hit the enemy like 10 times, you're going to do 280 bonus damage.
This ability recently got nerfed in the early levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so but it's still insane at the late ones.
Yes. It used to be, though, that like he was such a lane dominator against melee cores, because it made it really hard for them to last hit. But now it's a little more balanced, I think. Yeah.
And then there's also now in range. It lasts 4 seconds. It costs no mana, so you can cast it anytime, even against a peel or something like that. It gives you 80% damage reduction, so it basically makes you invincible for 4 seconds. Like, even if you get nuked during that window, like, you barely notice it on your health, just because of the way damage reduction scales, and then you also have armor and damage resistance on top of that, and it doubles your free swipes multiplier. So, if you have 10 stacks, which gives you 280 damage, and you press your ult, which is Enrage, you now do 560 damage.
Feels good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very nice.
It's important for taking Roche.
True. Yeah, Fury Swipes also works on Roche, just makes them take Roche further. So, basically, Ursa's thing is ganking heroes with Blink Dagger who don't have an escape from him, and killing melee heroes. And like, what I like about the hero, basically, is he's a bear. Like, he's not that complicated in theory, because basically all of his abilities are geared towards doing a lot of single-target right-click damage. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of nuance in how you play him and how you position yourself as an Ursa.
Can we talk about his talents before we get into gameplay much?
Sure, yeah. His level 10 talent is 3 mana region, probably gonna take that one most of the time, against 8 strength. 15, at level 15, 25 fury stripes for that time. I think that's one of the more useless talents. To 14 agility. And then there's also, at level 20, plus 16 fury stripes damage, a very underrated talent in my opinion. I always go for that one. Against 1.5 second enrage duration, it's good, but I don't think it's as good as the fury stripes damage. Okay. And at level 25, it's Enrage gets 80% status resistance, so basically you can't get disabled anymore for that duration, or plus 600 AoE Earthshock, which makes your Earthshock have nearly 1k AoE, which is insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you talk about his Aghanim Scepter briefly, and then we'll talk about gameplay?
Sure. His Aghanim Scepter just lowers the cooldown of his Q from 50, 40, 30 to 30, 24, 18. Did I say enrage? I meant his ultimate. His Q. No, his ultimate. Yeah. I'm sorry, his ultimate.
But doesn't it also make it so you can cast it while you're stunned? Yeah, you can
also cast it while you're stunned, but not while silenced.
Cool. All right, so what do you want to do with the bear? Jim, do you have any thoughts?
I like Ursa. I've played him a bit. He's super fun to play. You just run around and hit people. He's like one of the most Aryan heroes I can think of.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't like take up space. Like, he creates space and he's really good at killing people. Yeah. That's all I got.
Okay. Yeah.
He's fun though. I mean, I'll just defer to you guys. You guys play him a lot more.
Sam, do you play Ursa ever?
Yeah, he's one of the few carries that I actually have somewhat of a grasp on. I don't do it often, but he's definitely one of my more comfortable carries. I think typically he's strong in lane. You can use your your in your W to get last hits under tower if you're having a tough time. He's fairly tanky. He's not as good in the lower levels as he used to be due to some changes to his passive.
Yeah,
but he's still good. Still good to. You still, you know, in the early levels, you can still man up and get some fighting done in the lane. And then once you hit 6, you want to go ahead and Roche. Like Aaron was saying, the stacks apply to Roshan. So you just go in there, get a bunch of stacks up, and hit your R button, and you melt Roche.
Yeah, if you have 6 threats like Soak, you can also do a level 1 Roche. Me and Charlene can do it in our sleep now. We did it twice in WLDL. So you get 4 salves on each hero, the small armor ring on Ursa, and you get an Ursa and an Ogre. And each buys 4 salves. And then the Ogre bloodlust the Ursa. The Ursa skill 3 swipes level 1, and then you do level 1 Roche, and you take turns tanking. And when you're not tanking, you still hit, but you salve up. It's really effective for early advantage. I like
doing it. There you go. And then he's just a very great mid-game hero.
Yeah,
his power spike is really strong. And if you're Aryan, you just kind of farm heroes and...
True. Never farm.
Make space, and then you win the game. Feels good.
I feel like, yeah, basically he doesn't farm very well if he's not super far ahead. He basically farms heroes. I think... With Ursa, it's all about timings. Like, when is your Roche timing? When is your Blink timing? When do you have your Basher? And if you have your timing, you're super strong. But if you don't get it, you're going to fall far behind and miss subsequent timing. And if you miss one of your timings, it's going to become that much harder to get your next timing. So if you miss your level 6 power spike Roche and then kill 2 heroes and take a tower, then it's going to be that much harder for you to get your early Blink timing to be able to snowball further. And even like elaborating on that, like if you miss your Blink timing, it's going to be that much harder for you to get your Basher, because you need your Blink to kill heroes most of the time, and you can't really farm the jungle. So if you want your Basher, you need your Blink, but you need to kill heroes, which you need a Blink for. So it's really hard if you're behind on Ursa, because people just kite you, or if you're too far behind, just tank you. Because if you don't have levels, then something like a Centaur is going to be able to absorb a decent amount of your strikes. But in general, I feel like Ursa isn't that good anymore in pro level pubs, but at my level, he's still good, because people just don't know how to deal with aggression in lower levels most of the time, especially with early aggression like Ursa loves to do. Ursa falls off in the late game, but not as hard as people might think. There's not a lot of heroes that can survive a Blink, MKB, Axe, Abyssal Blade, Ursa blinking on them, even when they're level 25. And I think that's mostly due to the level 20 talent, which gives you plus like 50% damage on Fury Swipes. Most people take the enraged duration, but I think the Fury Swipes, it's your main damage. It's like 50% additional to your main damage. I feel like that's way too good to pass off in most situations.
Yeah. Yeah, he is, he's like the second highest win rate hero at all levels, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
55% at all levels, mostly.
And he has the most exclusive cosmetics in the entire game.
Really?
True. Yeah. Oh, the Alpine Stalker set.
Yeah, the Cowboy set.
Damn.
Because they discontinued it because it looks too goofy. So, like, Arteezy has it. It's like, the whole set's like $2,000.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And, I mean, many people cry about it because, like, it was goofy back for the times when, like, sets pretty much barely changed the hero.
Yeah.
But nowadays, it wouldn't be. Like, there's way goofier sets out there.
We also, we like goofy?
We do.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. But back in the day, when Dota was in its beta, there were, like, 3 sets, and they, like, barely changed the heroes. The Alpine Stalker set was crazy.
Very self-serious community we have.
Yeah.
And believe me, if you work hard, you can make your heroes look goofy even with the current
that's
customers.
Right. That's right. So the build on him typically phase boots, right?
Mm-hmm.
To try to not get kited.
Yes, I mean, phase boots makes a lot of sense. He has high armor, so the armor is kind of wasted, but you get the speed boost from the Q, and since you have a lot of attack speed, getting the damage boost just makes mm-hmm. sense.
Generally, you want some kind of lifesteal to do Roche, so mm-hmm. Morbid Mask. You can finish that out into Vladimir's, or you can just chill with the Naked Morbid Mask. It's all fine.
Yeah, I like the Naked Morbid Mask more, because now most of the times offlaners get the Vlad, yeah. and you can upgrade the Morbid Mask into Satanic later.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah. Blink Dagger, pretty core.
Mm-hmm.
Basher, usually core.
Yes.
Scepter, really good if you're not able to get your Enrage off. Mm-hmm.
And MKB if they have a PA or some other evasion hero, like AM yeah. or something.
You used to go Scythe of Vice on this guy.
Yeah, it's still good in some situations. I get it from time to time in Turbo.
Yeah, can be fun. You used to get BKB on him because they changed his ultimate around.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But now, I mean, you can. Definitely, it's not bad if you're getting kited, but... sometimes you don't need it now, I think anymore.
Way back in the old days, Ursa's ultimate just gave him more damage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Based on his HP pool.
Yes, absolutely. Which was kind of an interesting interaction.
Yeah.
But and yeah,
that's also why he's an agility hero. Because mm-hmm. if like most before you would just build 3 hearts on Ursa because his old scales of tankiness, and then if you were also strength hero and get the full strength benefits from that, that would have been OP. So that's why they made him edgy.
Alright. I gotta go.
Alright. We can finish it out with Noobs Ask Noobs. See you, Sam.
Alright. Yeah. See you guys.
See you, Sam. Enjoy.
Alright. Bye bye.
Bye.
Just the two of us. All right, Noobs Ask Noobs. We're going to just skip over item of the week because that's a question mark anyway. We got a lot of questions on hand. I think we'll still spend some time on this, Jim. So the first question by Neil. Where do you think there's room for improvement in a tournament grand finals? I would enjoy seeing every hero picked or banned in one game automatically banned in the next to increase hero variety.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. He sent that in a while ago. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of kept it in the queue to line up better with the DPC schedule, because I don't know, I thought that kind of made sense. Yeah. But you know, when I say it out loud, I think it takes us a bit too seriously. But I do like the question. I love the idea of picking like elimination mode. I think that's what it was called when Moonduck ran
it. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think you should necessarily do it in a DPC event.
Yeah, me neither.
But I would love to see all kinds of interesting creativity in non-DPC events.
Yeah, me too. I think in DPC events, like in any grand final, not only in DPC events, like most of the changes you make to increase like watchability or make it more exciting directly detract from the competitiveness of it.
Right.
Because it's just like, it's very unpredictable and it may affect some teams more than others, which is unfair by nature. So I feel like it's fine for like, I think like the Megaphone Winter Clash recently did a best of 7.
Yeah.
That was good. I think that's like, that's not, I think that's cool. I don't know if it really makes it more exciting because the individual game matters less. But I'd like to see a best of 7 final in a DPC event just for the kicks of it.
Okay,
but it's gonna be like, it takes 7 hours. It's like super hard on everybody, and most of the time you would have the tournament schedule, because in most tournaments the lower bracket team wins a best of 3 and then has to win a best of 5. So worst case scenario, they're playing 8 games, and I'm not sure if you really want to up that 8 games to 10 games.
No, that's a really good point. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, but if you switch up the schedule, it could work.
Yep, that makes sense.
But, yeah, I've twisted the suggestion he made. I think it fits well for non-DPC events, but I'm not sure if it's really fair to the teams if you do it in a DPC event.
Yeah, probably not.
All right, can do the next one.
All right. The next one is from Ye Old Raven, who once upon a time was a brand new player to Dota and started coming to Theme Thursdays.
Yeah, I remember.
And then picked Pudge at some point and absolutely took over one of our games. And so now I think he's a Pudge spammer. And he asks, what are some good sources of mana?
Man.
And then pretends that he's not a Pudge spammer by saying asking for a friend. But you used to play a lot of Pudge.
Yeah, right? Back when I was like not even affiliated with like Dota a lot, Pudge was my most played hero. It was back before I started playing Storm Spirit. But it's really hard to say for me because the Pudge I played like 4 to 5 years ago, it's a different hero basically than the Pudge we have now. Pudge has evolved so much. Back then, I used to go Arcane Bottle Urn, which, like, for now, like, for recent standards, I also, like, I played mid Pudge. So, for the standards we have now, that would have been, like, way too much mana. I think nowadays you're fine with an urn, I think. Is that enough mana?
Yeah. 1.5 per second is pretty good. Also, earning a couple clarities, maybe.
Yeah, it also depends on how good you're with hooking. If you like need 3 hooks per kill, of course you're gonna need more sources of mana regen than if you get a kill with every hook.
I'll tell you what, Raven does not need 3 hooks per.
All right, then per kill. I guess he's gonna be fine with an urn then.
Yeah, earning clarities. Do you build Aether Lens on him sometimes, right?
Yeah, sometimes, but I feel like it's fallen out of favor recently. You used to do it on mid patch, but nowadays I feel like, I guess pros think it's too much of a investment.
Okay.
Because only 2 of his abilities really benefit from it, and like only hook does really well.
That's true.
Because most of the time when you cast your ult on somebody, they're going to be hooked, so they're going to be right next to you anyway, so the range component is kind of wasted.
True. All right. Next question from ProNoob241.
I like that name.
He asks, every time I try to play a core or something, about 10 minutes in my hands start to clench up. It's not a medical thing because right after a game I'm fine, and when doing other games the feeling is hard to describe, but it gets real hard to move my fingers and they want to naturally curl into a fist with the thumb tucked in. Please help. I can't play Core XD.
That's an interesting condition.
Yeah.
I guess it has something to do with like the stress you experience when playing Core as opposed to support, because even though it's not true in my opinion, because I think Core positions are more mindless than support positions, because supports have to think about the grander scheme of the game way more. But I guess you, Prunu, feel like as a core, you're more under pressure because you're the one that's expected to carry the game. So okay. Yeah, I feel I like for that. Him, it's just a reaction to the pressure. He feels like, hey, I have to play core, I have to carry my game, and then like you become nervous or something, and your hands start to clench up or something. And
yeah, I agree. I think also I'm gonna note that his hand is curling into a fist. And so I'm going to suggest that you mute all your enemies and teammates at the start of the game. Because
maybe so it's rage, yeah.
Yeah, it could be. It could be just this overwhelming desire to freak out physically. Also, I'd recommend not putting your thumb tucked in when you make a fist. You'll hurt your thumb if you hit someone.
Yeah, that's true. You'll break your thumb.
Yeah. And I was trained as a boxer at one point in my life. Wow. So, next question. We'll go to you first because I feel like this is a good question for you too. Ye Old Raven again asks, is double stout shield a thing anymore?
I feel like so the way it works is when you stack stout shields, it gives you an effective 75% chance to proc instead of what you would expect, which is a 100% chance because you're adding up to 50% chances, but it votes the thingy separately, so it mounts up to a 75% chance. I feel like one stout shield is so value that even paying 100 golden more for half the value on the second stout shield, I feel like in certain situations it can be worth it. Most of the time, absolutely not. But for example, when you're playing Axe and you're expecting to cut the wave a lot, then you most of the time go double stout.
Okay.
And I think it, like, there's a certain, because of course it's going to be your starting item. And there's only certain heroes who can do it, because if you go double stout, that's like most of your starting gold gone. So you can only really do it effectively on heroes that don't need mana a lot in the early laning phase, which is pretty much like, I guess, Axe, Underlord, maybe Monkey King. I don't really know if I can think of anybody else that doesn't need mana in the early laning phase.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. I never made a double stout.
In doubt, like when you're in doubt, just don't do it. Not doing double stout is safer than doing double stout.
Ah, it's a good rule of thumb. The next question is from Salty Persian. He says he's stuck at Herald 6 badge, mm-hmm. and he wants tips to improve.
So my biggest tip would be win games. It definitely helps with getting out of Herald.
It's true, yeah. The more the more I win, the more my badge goes up. And likewise, drawing on the discussion earlier in the episode, the more I lose, the more it goes down.
Yeah, I feel like I don't think it has been proven scientifically yet, but I feel like the general consensus is that most of the time there's at least partly a correlation between MMR and winning games. Like, yeah. I think we haven't figured it out yet, but I think like there's some correlation between the two things at least.
Yeah, there are a lot of theories out there. You know, don't get sucked into YouTube conspiracy land, but seriously, I think everyone always says, like on the internet, that like just farming better will pull you up out of that, mm-hmm. Which is similar to the. I always draw the analogy to StarCraft 2, where if you can macro, you can get yourself up to like probably the right side of the bell curve, just through efficient macroing. Mm-hmm. And so I think just. If you play cores, like farming and farming patterns are probably really good. It's not really much of a tip. It's just kind of a general thing. Stick with certain heroes, maybe. I think that's probably a good one, because the more comfortable you get with a particular hero, the less you have to think about the mechanics of using the hero, and the more you just naturally have, you know, processing power in your brain able to think about the larger game.
And I mean,
so that's probably a good one too.
Honestly, like, we can't really give you, like, you specifically tips, because I haven't watched your replays. Like, most players are bad at the game in their very own way. I'm not saying you're bad. Everybody's bad in our community.
Right.
But, like, there's only some players who are not bad. And I feel like every person sucks at Dota in the very like individual way, so we can't really give you tips individually.
Yeah, I mean, like, quite literally everybody is bad at Dota except for like 15 people.
True.
Who are like the players on those three teams that win everything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure everyone who plays them and constantly loses, even though they're like the 21st best player, mm-hmm. is like, oh, we're good. But yeah, I mean, maybe just like find some favorite heroes that are universally decent, like, I don't know, Dazzle or something. And then it'll let you think more about the game broadly. And you figure out what you're doing wrong when you lose games.
All right. Next question by Neil again. What are the chances you'll ever get to interview with Sir Action Slacks again? Well, Sam's gone and he did the interview. We had like quite a lot of high profile people on recently, like from Hamburg interviews and from Sam getting interviews, and I think the chances are pretty good. Maybe in a year or so, we'll see.
Yeah, it's possible. I think with Sir Action Slacks, it's probably difficult to predict the future in any
like, he may very situation. Well be like dead in a year.
Yeah, he could be dead, he could be president of the United States. Yeah. I mean, who knows.
Everything's
But yeah, I mean, maybe. Who knows? I mean, it's cool that we're going to have some more chances out in Europe. Yeah.
All right. Last question by RX Cowbell before we wrap this Schwab, you can play five heroes for an entire year. Which ones do you pick?
You answer first.
All right. You know the first one, that's Storm Spirit, obviously, even though he's trash. Next one, Monkey King. I want to get good at Monkey King. Mars, because he's new. PA, because... Nah, not PA, actually. Meepo, so I can learn Meepo. Ah. So if like I'm going to be forced to play him, that way I can't make excuses to not play Meepo. And then the last, I need a support, actually. My Lion, in case I want to... in case I have to support. Yeah.
Lion's a good
one.
Are
those five? I think that's five. Maybe four.
Yeah, I think you're good. For an entire year, my answer would be Meepo with an Ag Scepter.
Mm-hmm.
That's five heroes. And then I could actually get good at Meepo and own pubs.
And become
if I had to pit. Yeah, if I had to play five different heroes. I like Venge and Jakiro with supports. I think they're fun. Maybe Dazzle. Maybe Venge and Dazzle, because I feel like they're always... You're always doing something. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of exciting to play. Terrorblade as my carry. You're always doing something. It's always exactly the same thing. But it's engaging, for me at least. Yeah, probably Centaur, just because I really like him. And then as a mid, I don't like playing mid. So I'll make the other person also not like playing mid, and I'll pick Viper.
Nice. Classic Jim. Yeah. As long as the enemy doesn't have fun, I win.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I think that's a wrap for this week, guys. Anything to shout out, Jim? I think you've joined Twitter now. Shout out to your Twitter.
I have?
I think so. Didn't I see you on Twitter?
I don't know.
Maybe it was some old account.
Maybe it was hacked and it's like just tweeting out endorsements of obscure products. Maybe. I'm not aware if I'm on Twitter.
Okay. Shout out to your
Steam. I'll leave the plugging to you and We Like Dota.
Follow We Like Dota. That's at We Like Dota. Surprise, surprise on Twitter. Join Theme Thursdays, join the WLT Desolators in-house first of each month. Theme Thursdays is every Thursday, and I think that's it for me. See you guys.
Bye-bye.